Last night of camp, how are we feeling? Sad? You guys aren't ready to go home? I have found that camp for you guys is always a little, it's full of emotion, right? You're having fun, you know, you're away, you have some freedom for the first time, but you also miss home a little bit, right? 50-50? Okay. All right. I want to ask you guys some questions again. Who wants to tell me their favorite part about camp so far? Right here. Yeah. Right now? He said when he's at the chapel. Right here. Yep. Seeing the plays that the rec team does. Yeah? Worshiping, meeting new people. How many Mountain Dews have you had today? Okay. What about you? Worship's your favorite part? You in the tie-dye shirt. Yep. The food is your favorite part. Okay, right here with the arm. What do you say? The teams, being a part of the team. Right here, last one. Can the counselor, you canned your counselor? Is that kind of like a love bomb? That's what we call it. Like you do something nice for your counselor? Or is it not nice? Oh, it's very nice. For someone who has been doing kids ministry for a little bit and done a lot of camps like this. Okay, last one. Okay. They are the British Egyptians. They let me know. Your counselors who are here, they either took time off to be here or they sacrificed something to be here. So if you haven't already, say thank you to your counselors. It's a big deal that they're here. All right, we're going to continue with the story of Joseph. So everyone, get your Bibles. Open up to Genesis. We're going to start in chapter 42. So who remembers where we left off with Joseph? Does anyone remember? Second command of everything, right? You. That's right. But he told Pharaoh, what was his dream about? Do you remember? Yes, and he told Pharaoh, this is what I would do if I were you. And Pharaoh said, I think you're the man to do it. So he put him in charge to come up with the plan because the famine was coming, okay? So you guys all there? 42 verse 1. None of you guys have your Bible. It's okay. I'll read it for you, okay? Here we go. When Jacob learned that there was grain for sale in Egypt, he said to his sons, why do you look at one another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is grain for sale in Egypt. Go down and buy grain for us there, and we may live and not die. That's how bad the famine was, okay? Everyone was running out of food. So 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with his brothers, for he feared that harm might happen to him. So Benjamin is now the youngest son, and since Jacob thought he lost Joseph, he didn't want to send this son in fear that he might lose him too. The sons of Israel came to buy among the others who came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was governor over the land. He was the one who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers come and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the ground. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he treated them like strangers and spoke roughly to them. "Where do you come from?" he said. They said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." So, do you guys all know what a famine is? What is it? Who can tell me? That's right. Next time, please raise your hand, okay? I like to do what we call quiet hands. So I call on those who are sitting there quietly. Were you going to say that? Okay, you want to say it? I won't let them steal your spotlight. What's a famine? It's when they run out of food. Okay. And news about Egypt having all this food had reached everywhere, right? It was like the one place anyone could get food. So if they wanted to live, they had to go to Egypt and buy this food. And it's important to note that we see that the brothers, they were in trouble and they could not provide for themselves, okay? Let's continue in verse 8. And Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. And Joseph remembered the dreams he had dreamed of them. And he said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land." They said to him, "No, my lord. Your servants have come to buy food. We are all sons of one man. We are honest men. Your servants have never been spies." He said to them, "No, it is the nakedness of the land you have come to see." And they said, "We are your servants, our 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is no more." So they're talking about Benjamin being the youngest and one who is no more. Who's that? Joseph. But Joseph said to them, "It is as I said to you, you are spies. By this you shall be tested. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go from this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of you and let him bring your brother while you remain confined, that your words may be tested, whether there is truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies." And he put them all together in custody for 3 days. So Joseph recognizes his brothers, okay? And he knew that his whole family must come to Egypt. We also see one of his dreams come true, right? You guys remember one of his first dream? What was it? Way back there. Gotta say it loud. That's right. And what do we see when the brothers get there? What do? They bow down before him, right? Now we see Joseph try and test his brothers to see if they have changed, okay? So I'm gonna summarize Genesis 43 and 44, but I want you guys to turn, if you have your Bibles, to Genesis 45, okay? And I'll walk you guys through Genesis 43. So the brothers go back home, but the famine is so severe that they run out of food again. So they have to come back to Egypt. This time, they bring someone with them. Benjamin. They bring Benjamin with him. When they get there, Joseph does this silver cup test, okay? He places a silver cup into Benjamin's bag. So when they all come back, they get all their food, right? The Egyptians, they bag all this food for them. And Joseph tells them, in this guy's bag, put a silver cup, okay? So they're loading their donkeys with these bags. But Joseph knew the cup was in there, right? So he sends someone to go open the bag. And what do they find in Benjamin's bag? The cup. Wait, how many of you guys, have you guys seen The Prince of Egypt or no? Okay. What's cool about that is when they realize Joseph's confronting them about the stolen cup, one of Joseph's other brothers tries to take Benjamin's place. Do you guys know his name? No. It was Judah. The thing about Judah is he was the one who sold Joseph. So we see Judah back then sell Joseph into slavery, but now we see him willing to take Benjamin's place. Isn't that pretty cool? Hey, are you guys in Genesis 45? Verse 1. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him for their dismay at his presence. If you think about it, this must be one of the craziest situations a person's ever been in, right? They thought they killed their brother, and then years later, they're standing in front of him, right? So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest." So there's still another 5 years when they're not going to be able to get any more food. "And God sent me before you to preserve you for a remnant on earth, but to keep alive for you many survivors." Verse 8, "So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house, ruler over the land of Egypt." So this plan that we've been talking about this whole week for the life of Joseph, we see it come to life, right? Joseph has to go through all these things, right? Gets sold into slavery, gets into Potiphar's house, rises to the top, goes to jail, rises to top in the jail, gets forgotten about in jail, only to be remembered and lifted in this position. For what reason? Save his family and many people. What's important to note is that his brothers, what could they, the famine was so severe, what could they do? Were they helpless? They couldn't grow any food. They were completely helpless, right? That's like us spiritually. Because of the sin that we've been talking about all week long, the sin that we are born into, the sin we have in our heart, there's nothing we can do about it. No matter how good we try and be, no matter how much we try and stop lying, no matter how much we try and stop fighting with our siblings, there's nothing we can do about this sin. And sin, do you guys remember what sin is? Or what does it do? It creates separation from God. So because of our sin, we are faced with eternal separation from God. But do you guys know what the plan is? What the plan is? Who said Jesus? That's right. So in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, they bring sin into the world. But God said, there's a promised Savior, someone who will crush the head of the serpent. And his name is Jesus. And we see Jesus, actually, he comes from this family line that Joseph saved. And Jesus came down, he lived the perfect life, died the death that we deserved, so that we can be in relationship with him forever. Okay? I have something to kind of show you guys to help you understand. Hold on. So do you guys remember when Joseph got sold into slavery? What did he get sold for? Huh? What did his brothers receive when they sold him? A bag of silver, right? Do you guys know when Jesus was betrayed by his friends? What did Judas receive? Does anyone know? That's right, a bag of silver. And just like Joseph's brothers who were hopeless, we are just as hopeless, okay? So, you like science? This right here represents us, okay? And we, Adam and Eve, they brought sin to the world. So when we are born, we're born into sin, okay? So what are some sins that you guys are common for you? Right here. Ooh, saying bad words to your friends. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Like jerk or something. Right here. Oh, I thought you were going to say your dad. Arguing with your sister. Okay, right here in the purple. Stealing. Anything else? What else? Arguing with your sister a lot? One for me is sometimes gossiping. Do you guys know what gossiping is? Yeah? Maybe some of that happened this week. Maybe lying a little bit, right? Like, hey, did you do that? No, I didn't do that. Maybe a little bit of that. So with sin, this represents us, okay? It's iodine, okay? And there is nothing we can do about our sin. But because of Jesus, because he lived the perfect life, he was perfect, never argued with his siblings, never said bad words. He did. And when he lived the perfect life, went and died on the cross, rose again 3 days later, for those of us who believe in him, right? He takes away our sins. And so this is what happens when we decide to place our faith in Jesus. And because Jesus was perfect, if we place our faith in him, this is how God sees us. Right? And then we're allowed to enter into heaven and be in relationship with him forever. That is cool. It's bleach and iodine, okay? I know some of you guys are going to be asking. No. So many of you guys may have grown up in church. Many of you guys, this might be your first summer camp hearing, opening the Bible for a first time. But for those of you who have never decided to place your faith in Jesus, you're going to have the opportunity to do that tonight, okay? I walk through what I call the ABCs. If you want to place your faith in Jesus for the first time, okay, you only have to do this one time. A is admit. Admit that you need help because of your sin and that you can't save yourself. B is believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again to forgive us of our sins. And then C is choose. Trust Jesus as your Savior and follow him. If any of you guys have never done that and you would like to do that tonight, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Okay? When you're ready, you can feel free to stand up if you want to place your faith in Jesus for the first time. So now what we're going to do is we're going to pray. For those of you that just saw someone stand up, that is now your brother or sister in Christ. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask everyone to bow your head, close your eyes, and pray. Just take a minute in your own head to pray for those people who just placed their faith in Jesus. Pray that this is just that from here on out, they would choose to follow Jesus every day, that they would be surrounded by a community of believers who would help them. Okay, so just take a minute, pray to yourselves for those people, and then I'll pray, okay? Father, we thank you that you are good, that you are loving, that you loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son to come live on this earth a perfect life, to die the death that we deserve, so that we can be with you. I'm thankful that you have kept promise after promise. We see that in the life of Joseph, that you promised him that he would save his family and save all these people. Thank you for the promise in Genesis 3 that of the promised Savior who would crush the serpent's head. And I thank you for the kids who just placed their faith in you, that you would surround them with good, with a community of good believers who would help them in this walk of faith. I would pray that you just continue to work in their life and they would grow closer and closer to you more and more every day, God. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with these kids as we journeyed through the story of Joseph. And I pray this is the beginning or a launching point for many of these kids, God. And we pray all this in your son's name. Amen. Yeah.